Off the ball.
Rugby.
Will Bundy Aki, Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose be at the next World Cup? And is it the same situation? Experience does count for sure.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Come here, 42 years it's been. It was broken at the weekend when the losing side at half-time in Dublin between Ireland and England never go on to win the game. But Ireland were 5 points down at half-time and then 5 points up at full-time. Is it like an oversimplification to say it was a game of two halves?
No, I don't. I don't think so. And probably that's where it becomes interesting. That I don't think England expected to be 10-5 in front, and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? It means like I think they had a game plan where they were going to compete in the air. I didn't think they'd expect for 40 minutes to get as much joy out of Ireland as they did, but they didn't really know how to kick on. And I was thinking about that when, obviously, the Irish model, how it's so strong, and what am I talking about? You look at Bundy Aki and you look at Tuilagi, who's on in Bayonne. I would say Bundy Aki has a few years on him, and Bundy Aki just does what Bundy Aki does. And you look at England without Farrell at 10, a general, Tuilagi at 12, Joe Merchant at 13, our winger, and Jack Nowell, who's ripping it up for us over here. You put that kind of killer instinct, or cutting edge, or experience, or because you know, you can't have a team of OAPs and you can't have a team of young fellas. For me, you go through probably the English backline and they kind of looked like, okay, we're in the lead here now. We shouldn't be in the lead. What do we do? While if you had a few killers, they could have taken the game away from Ireland within 40 minutes because they had Ireland rattled, I felt. And Ireland did, as you say, they scored 22 unanswered points until the last 4 minutes when the game was all up and over. And that's where Ireland would be probably disappointed. 27-10 is a hell of a day. It's a brilliant turnaround from 10-5. And that will annoy probably the coaching group more so than the players, because the players, and I was a player too, you're like, it's just about the result. But it's not really just about the result. It's about standards. It's about why do we let England at home score 22 points when they probably deserve 10?
Yeah. Like, for you, you know, it was interesting, the wording of it there. England didn't know what to do with themselves at 10-5 up. I went to the Jacks at half-time and I was thinking to myself, like, England just look like the better team. They just look overall a better side. But I don't know, Ronan, I suppose this is the question. Did they contribute to the result, as in did they fade, or were Ireland actually magnificent in the second half and the best we've seen them in a while?
I tell you where, you know, the difference between rookies, experienced players, big, little things becoming big things, would it be, for me, we got a first sighting of Prendergast being spooked. What do I mean by that? I mean the line speed of England, they went after him, they got joy out of him, because he wouldn't have faced anything like that in any game, considering he's played, whatever, 13 professional games. So this guy is doing phenomenally well. But England got joy out of him because they went really hard off the line, and usually he brings the ball to the line. He stopped and he planted and he played passes early, which happens because you're a 21-year-old and you're like, oh, what's this I'm facing today?
Yeah.
And it took a while, probably 40 minutes for him to work out, and it was probably ironic when he was getting at the hang of thing and he kicked a good pressure penalty, he got replaced. That's what happens at the top level, because it's about results.
I think the engine's stalling out on me.
Yeah, that don't sound right.
Dang, got a lot more miles to go.
Nah, be okay, mate. You ride with GEICO Motorcycle Insurance and got their 24/7 emergency roadside service. They'll be here with a tow in no time.
Good, because these boots weren't made for walking.
Those riding boots are pretty sweet.
Oh, you like?
Do you think they come in a size 1 inch?
I don't know.
It feels good to ride with help. It feels good to Geico. Emergency roadside service is optional coverage.
Back to the rugby now, Ireland, England. We're joined in studio by both Alan Quillen and James Tracy. This is a treat. Morning, Matthew.
How are you? Breaking stuff.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Innovative. I have some breaking news for you, lads. And this is devastating. Thomas McGuire has been in touch on YouTube saying, Cullum, apparently Maniac 2000 was not played at the Aviva.
I didn't
on Saturday,
hear it anyway.
Well, you didn't hear it, James? Did
no.
you hear it?
No.
Only in our heads. That's it. Otherwise, great atmosphere, great match. We had Ron Lagara on the start of the show. I was saying, is it an oversimplification to say it was a game of two halves, 5 points down at half time, 5 points up by full time? How do you read into it? We'll start with yourself, Quinny.
It was pretty intense from the start, and that didn't surprise me in any way. I think England were very physical, disruptive, aggressive, and had a lot of real intent to unsettle Ireland. So Ireland coped pretty well. I think the frustrating part, I think, for Ireland was probably the entries into England's 22. And I feared a little bit it was some similarities to 2019.
Yeah.
I said that pre-match and last week that they may have looked back at that and showed the examples of how they unsettled Ireland back then and continued to keep that intense momentum going throughout the game. So they were winning a lot of loose balls. The kicking game was really good. And I wouldn't say Ireland were struggling and it was worrying, but it was a little bit concerning.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the word control a few times in the commentary, that Ireland just needed a little bit more control. So they didn't panic, and that was the good thing, I think. And again, they wouldn't have been unexpected within the Irish camp that England were going to be very physical and a good side, very dangerous side, and a lot of good players in there. So game of two halves, yeah, Ireland, I think, really got control in the second half, and they didn't do anything majorly different, but
right.
They were a little bit more accurate in their passing and found little gaps and pockets, and that's probably 15, 20-minute period of the second half was the game, really. And it was very satisfying for them, I think. The game was effectively over at 27-10.
Yeah.
England get a couple of late tries, which would disappoint any defensive coach or players, but it didn't seem like it was over. And you know what? Massive credit to England, but I think I was reading some stuff on from English journalists and ex-English players, and there was a few comments that the tries were soft and preventable, and
right.
you could certainly look at it that way from an English point of view, but it's like, and you probably know this, Keith, if the opposition are continually in your box and there's chance after chance after chance, eventually, you know, it's not a surprise that you break a little bit. So I think a lot of what Ireland did, even though it was frustrating and disappointing from their point of view in the first half, that's the same pressure took it out of that English defence, and they got rewarded then.
James, was this a very different Ireland from November that we saw? Like, they were flawless at the line-out the weekend, 23 from 23. There was only 8 penalties conceded to England's 13. The handling was still a bit suspect in the first half. I was personally worried at half-time. I don't know about you.
But it definitely took a lot of learnings. One thing that I noticed straight off the bat was in their backfield. So in autumn and what we've seen over kind of the last 12 months, where we've struggled has been when we have kind of 10 left on the backfield on the open side for the return kick. what they were cleverly doing was when they were sending, knowing that was going to be an aerial attack against England, the new rule that you can't really protect that guy anyway, so you got to have your best fielders there. And they were swapping Prendergast and Keane in the backfield. So when the ball inevitably came back, you had someone who's very good at catching the ball around their head, their plan around how they had people pass the ball. So on England's side, so if there was scraps to be won, they were all over it. And in fairness, Van der Fleer, Kelleher come up with some really big moments in the first half of getting the ball back, Ringrose as well.
I want there to be a sense of freedom for the Lions to play. This is the best of the best. This is aspirational. That's what I'm looking at when I look at the Lions.
What you want? It's heart. That's what we want. 15 hearts, 15 minds on the same tune. That's what we want from the start to the end.
And I've read a huge amount of negative commentary, whether this is an anachronistic imperial team. But this is a tradition of over 100 years of the coming together of four teams that it's incredibly awkward. People say, well, when Northern Hemisphere teams can go down and beat a Southern Hemisphere team, why do we need four teams to do it? It's because of the rarity value. It's because of the difficulty of it. It is because of the coming together of the four teams. It's how you get somebody to plant a philosophy on top of those so that this becomes a tour for the ages. Because that's aspirational.
It's what you're looking for. It's what all we ever dreamed for. It's our day, our biggest day.